Hello, dear friends, and welcome to another episode of Life of Love, where we live in the spirit of curiosity and growth and just ultimate wellness. He has this special gift that he's willing to share with us, and really excited to share his message. Dr. Alex Joannou is with us from Australia. So it's actually the morning of the next day. I'm recording this on a Thursday, and it's Friday morning for him. So I don't know why. I think that's so cool. But welcome to the show, Dr. Alex.
Thanks, Julie. I've been a GP, a general practitioner, in Australia for the last 40 plus years. And I've also been doing acupuncture for 25 plus years.
So that's a story in itself to unpack
my own health journey that took me on that path, as with a lot of doctors that I've met over the years who get into alternate medicines or complementary medicines, as they're more politely called, Western medicine sometimes doesn't have the answers. For my own issue, it was a matter of developing Crohn's disease. And I sort of basically collapsed at work, and was anemic and in severe pain. And the next week I found myself on the operating table and had 2 feet of intestine removed and had two large abscesses in my abdomen. The surgery, thank God, was successful. This was back in 1992. And the operation was successful. And I said to the surgeon afterwards, just before he discharged me, should I follow any particular diets, anything I should watch out for and so on? And he says, no, eat whatever you like, you're cured. So I did, and within 6 weeks I started getting symptoms again. I was at that point, I was 20 kilos lighter than I am at the moment. And a lot of my patients thought I had cancer that was a little bit bad. But, that began my health journey because, there was no way I wanted more surgery, which I was threatened with surgery and had to go onto steroids for 3 months, which settled it down. But, the history of Crohn's disease is it keeps recurring time after time. And I had a particular patient in mind that was in her mid-20s and already had about 6 to 8 operations on her abdomen. It was looked like train tracks all over her abdomen with the number of incisions she had. So I didn't want to go down that path. And fortunately, I had a friend who was into integrative medicine. So that started me on the path of self-discovery and discovering that Western medicine hasn't got all the answers.
Right. So you were slapped in the face with the idea of the mind-body connection. And you had an idea that it was something that you were doing, but the doctor's like, no, we removed the pathology. You're great. Go ahead. And your body's like, oh, no.
That's exactly right. The ultimate journey showed me ultimately that I'd realised I'd been gutless, literally, as well as figuratively. I was going down that path because I wasn't standing up for myself, and that meant a whole series of challenges from the psychological viewpoint to make changes in my life, which thank God was all successful. And And I haven't had a recurrence of the Crohn's since 94. So that was like 20, 30 years ago.
That's good to hear. That's so good to hear.
Yeah, that's right.
That's scary. I mean, wow, you're not the first person I've heard when there's something blocked in our psyche that it shows up in your body in a certain way. And, it's really interesting because your digestive tract is like your center of your power, right?
Yeah,
and standing up for yourself is huge. Wow, what a lesson.
Yes.
And it didn't run in your family.
No. It was just seemed to be completely out of the blue. And,
wow.
Yeah. But, so they ultimately led me on the path of acupuncture, and I just found I had a natural talent for it when I started trying it on my patients. I'd literally just gone to a two-day workshop and started using it straight away on patients who seemed desperate because these were like patients with severe knee problems, and they're on waiting lists for operation, but in the meantime they're in a lot of pain, and either the opioid drugs were causing side effects or they didn't want to take them. So I said, well, let's try some acupuncture. And they kept raving about the acupuncture, and eventually, I initially offered acupuncture as a last resort to patients who were desperate, and then I began offering it as an alternative. When people approached me, like with back pain, I offered to get the x-rays and send them off to the specialist or try some acupuncture first, and a fair percentage opted to try the acupuncture. And as I gained confidence, ultimately, I say, well, when somebody presented with a problem, well, let's try some acupuncture. If that doesn't work, then we'll get all the tests done and go down the medical route. So the last few years in my practice, I was just doing acupuncture only. So this is popular enough. And then I kept telling my wife, who's also a doctor, integrative doctor, about how great results I was getting with acupuncture. And it didn't matter what problem people came in, they were coming away saying that they felt terrific, and they found that they weren't having arguments at home, or the kids weren't annoying them, or their work was, they were still having the same problems with work, but it wasn't bothering you, like taking home the problems. So my wife kept saying, you've got to document this, you've got to document this. And then one day I had a woman who came to me because she was on, she had widespread osteoarthritis, mainly in the hands and the hips and the knees. And it had been bad enough that a GP decided to put her on opioid drugs. And apart from the addictive nature, which she wasn't keen on, she didn't like the dopey feeling she had on them.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's try some acupuncture. She was seeing another doctor in the practice, and she knew that I did acupuncture, so she was willing to give it a go. Well, after the third treatment, she didn't need the opioid drugs anymore. And I kept going for a bit longer, for about 2 months, to see how good I could really get her. And she said she felt better than she had done for a long time, and that she was on antidepressants, and could she go off them? So I delved further into it, and she'd been on antidepressants for 16 years. And I thought, well, perhaps she didn't really need them at any rate, because some people would just keep taking the pills because the doctor keeps prescribing it. But I looked at her records, and the doctor she was seeing in the practice had tried taking her off antidepressants the year before, and within 6 weeks all the symptoms came back, and said you just got to take these for the rest of your life. But this time she said she felt really terrific with the acupuncture. So I said, okay, let's try stopping it and see how you go. And that was in 2011, and she hasn't needed antidepressants since. And she hasn't needed opioids. She just takes the odd Tylenol for the pain. It was really brought home to me and to her, the change in her was that after about 2 months, it was just before Christmas time, she'd been off antidepressants for about 6 to 8 weeks at that point. And it was Christmas time, and she had a knock on the door. I opened the door, and there were Christmas carolers there started singing to her. And she burst into tears, and she just felt like her heart was just swelling up with such joy and happiness. And she said she hadn't experienced that feeling for many, many years. And so I realized, yeah, this, the acupuncture was really doing something special here. And what I've realized since is that really antidepressants, they're good at suppressing the feeling of depression, the depressed mood, but they also suppress all kinds of expression of emotion, including all the good emotions like joy and happiness. So, and talking to patients since, I've found that a lot of them just, you know, things, they don't feel depressed, but they don't feel happy. And so more and more patients have been able to get off antidepressants and bring joy and happiness back in your life. So that was when I thought, okay, I really got to spread this message because, yeah, people in Coffs Harbour where I live can benefit from this, but nobody else can. So that's when I got to teach
it on the road.
Yeah. So now I'm teaching acupuncture worldwide thanks to the beauty of the internet and Zoom.
Well,
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy to shout this from the rooftops. I mean, I had two questions. Well, let's stay in your patient. How did you know where to start with the acupuncture for depression? Are the needles in the head, or are you intuit where there's interruption?
It's interesting because unlike the traditional Chinese medicine, the TCM form of acupuncture, this is based on assessing which chakras are blocked, and then using acupuncture to alter the chakras to help unblock whatever energy blocks are there. And it makes sense when you think about it that the chakra points are really acupuncture points. They've even got names in the Chinese system, but they actually are acupuncture points and are chakras. So I now have developed a system where I get patients to fill in a questionnaire to work out which chakras have the issues based on how they answer the questions. So like asking them about their digestion and so forth. And, working out where the energy is blocked, I've sort of modified the system that had been started by another doctor, Mikio Senki, back in 95. He had come across the idea of using acupuncture to work on chakras. And from his perspective, he was using it to help raise people's consciousness. But he was emphasizing to us students that not to use it on people with mental health issues. And this was a year later when I saw him again. I said, well, that's all I've been using on people with mental health issues. And he says, oh, that's okay. You're a doctor. You know what you're doing. And so that really got me thinking about, okay, how can we make this system safe enough that any acupuncturist can do it and not put a patient at risk? So that's began this whole process of simplifying it and creating a system out of it to make it all something that I teach in those sort of 8 weekly workshops. And good success teaching that. And, you know, acupuncturists, over in Canada and the US are getting success with their clients. So that's, for me, I get a little buzz out of that. I can teach somebody overseas.
Right. Like, you have the interactive workshops and these people have knowledge about chiropractic, but you're showing them your system, and it's a transformational system that shows how to access those chakra points and the patterns. I love it. So I think you answered my other question. My other question was, like, when you had it, was it was your chakra that's related to your root or your sacral, and then they just worked on that area to clear it up so your body could have the feeling of flow?
So it's, you tailor it to whatever the need is on the day. So I get patients to fill out questionnaires based on how they've felt since the last treatment. And that way it's, things shift. Sometimes they've got a real issue with one chakra 1 week, but the next week it's another chakra. But overall I assess them in a scoring system, and patients can obviously feel the improvement, but you can actually quantify it through how they've answered the questionnaire. So I find it completely fascinating, and it just appeals to that part of my mind always working these things out, because I love to understand how the body works. You know, I realise what I learned in medical school was sufficient, but it's not the whole story. There's a whole lot more to the body than they teach. We aren't machines. We are people.
Right, and I think that's a common in many cultures. I mean, you're in Australia, I'm in America, and, you know, a lot of Western thought is that, you know, doctors know everything. You tell them what's going on, and it's almost like a God complex. Well, you know, they're going to cure me. I'm broken. You know, give me something to fix me. And so I would love to encourage a paradigm shift of, you know, that your body wants to heal. Your body wants to be whole, and the doctor, yes, doctors facilitate, but, you know, this idea of the body, mind, spirit connection is so powerful. And like you said, it's not taught in the, you know, I guess they only have so much time, but, you know, at some point doctors in medical school need to learn about nutrition and because it's so obvious what you put in your body is what you get out. I mean, you feed your dog really cheap food and your dog develops cysts and tumors, right? I mean, we don't need evidence. We have all the evidence around us. We know that people who eat cheese puffs every night for dinner develop clogged arteries and heart attacks. Like, that there's this connection. And I love to illuminate.
Yeah. It was interesting for me and to reflect that in my years of training as a doctor, which was 6 years, we spent one hour on nutrition.
Yeah.
That's pretty phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And lots of time figuring out what drugs to give. And I'm not against medications, but I do find if I have something, well, I had a piece of sand get in my eye over the weekend, and a lot of times I can just lay in bed and ask for healing, and I can run energy through my body, and like I can feel like support. And a lot of times I'll have a fever and I'll just accept the fever and let it run through, and I won't need an antibiotic or anything. But I was trying so hard over the weekend. I went to bed, I said, I'm going to wake up, my eye's going to feel better. Well, it felt worse. It felt so bad. I was like, I got to go to the doctor, take me to urgent care, because we were in Florida, and I got drops and steroids, and oh my gosh, I felt so much better. But doing both things is so amazing, because I believe that I was able to recover faster, because I know my body, if I support it, it's going to be okay. But I'm going to honor it. And, you know, I didn't spend the day pretending like my eye didn't hurt. I spent the day, you know, with my eye out of the sun and just taking naps and, you know, trusting that the eye drops are going to work. But it's really fun for me to play in this idea that, you know, let me run my energy. Let me see where my blocks are. Let me think about what's bothering me and be present with what's bothering me, instead of trying to push it down or have a glass of wine and forget about it. Like these avoidance. And I want to just talk to you about like fear. And how you've seen it show up in your patients, and how important it is for people to recognize fear to heal.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, in terms of the Chinese medicine, they associate the kidneys with fear. So often that manifests as problems in that part of the body, that, you know, sort of down towards the pelvic area. And often particularly the knee problems can indicate kidney issues, believe it or not. More than that is, you know, from a Western viewpoint, you think of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. It's the two aspects of the autonomic nervous system, which controls all those unconscious processes in the body. And for too many people, the sympathetic nervous system is switched on all the time. And that's the fight and flight reaction, which if you need to run away or fight, then that's perfect for you, your needs, because the body reacts by diverting blood supply from the digestive tract and reproductive organs and directs it to the muscles, skeletal muscles, so you can run faster and kick harder. And also, as well as diverting the blood there, the heart speeds up, your blood pressure goes up all to and get the oxygen to where it's needed in the muscles because they're going to be working hard. And that's terrific. And even things like blood supply to the kidneys shuts down, so you don't waste a drop of your blood. You retain all the fluid you can in case you're going to bleed. And also the liver releases clotting factors into the bloodstream so that your blood clots quicker. And that happens within 3 seconds of a fright. All of that happens. So that's pretty phenomenal.
Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, once the emergency's over, the parasympathetic system switches on, which then directs the blood away from the muscles and back to the internal organs. So there's the nurturing and healing process, which is why when somebody's stressed, they often lose their appetite or they lose a sense of comfort in their abdomen when they eat, because it's the juices can't get there because they're not being signaled to work. And if it's in a chronic situation like you're constantly in traffic jams trying to get to work and you're running late and all of that still fires the fight or flight response. So by continually shutting the flow of blood to the kidneys, that's going to give you high blood pressure. And your heart's going to be working harder, which increases the risk of heart attacks. And even with the clotting factors, that increases the risk of a heart attack from a thrombosis in the coronary artery and also the cerebral artery, so you end up with a stroke. So all those things are at greater risk because the sympathetic system's working overtime, so switching off. So there are points. That's the first pattern I teach acupuncturists, is to be able to switch off the sympathetic nerves from firing. And it's interesting that even often by the end of the treatment, patients are pressing the buzzer because they need to go and empty their bladder. And that's because suddenly the flow to the kidneys is dramatically increasing, which increases the amount of urine they're producing. So they can have acupuncture can help reverse the situation that quickly.
Yeah, all systems go, right? It's like, okay, we're safe and we don't have to fight that lion. And then I understand that people can get addicted to that dopamine rush of, your brain, what your brain does when your parasympathetic nerve system takes over and you're really responding out of this fear state, that it can be addicting.
That's right. And because when you're in that state, that's when you people often comment when there's great drama that it's like time slows down and they see everything that's going on and feel like they can move at a faster speed. It's the perception of that. So that's because of the extra, glucose being released and going to the brain and so on. So, so hence the addiction sort of feeling. Because, when you give patients treatments, apart from increasing their urine output, it also, people fall asleep. They just from exhaustion often.
Yeah.
Because it's like they haven't got that artificial stimulation saying, go, 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 go. So they fall asleep, and after a few times of that, they get into the swing of the acupuncture very easily. But before that, it's like you have to spend all the time trying to switch off those sympathetic nerves and get a person in a calmer state.
And think about how the relationships can improve when they can be more present and not be reactive. Because when your body's going through these things and your blood is thick and, you can't really feel where you are in space because everything's slowed down and all these things, they affect the way you interact with other people. It's not like this is happening just to you. This is affecting people in your life. So gosh, it's a really powerful, powerful shift, not just for the person, but it, you know, their loved ones and their relationships. And that's, you know, a lot of times when you get down to your core values, it's like your connection, you know, that this idea of separation is a myth, but you can feel so separated when you feel like you're under attack all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah. You can bring people to this place of community.
Self-defense. Yeah. It's the
self-defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and, you're going to you know, see, see lions around every corner, aren't you, really?
Right. And then
news hypes that up, that yeah. idea of constant fear and all, you know, that this is a
you're
bad
thing. Right. If that's what you're looking for, your brain is determined to see that too. So it'll. Yes. There's studies that show your perception of what's going to happen definitely affects what you perceive. I mean, I just said the same thing twice, but what you expect to see, your brain will try to happen. That's why five different people have the same experience and five different answers will come out. Yeah. Like it's totally different. And it's curious. I know it's a psychological phenomenon, but I can't remember the name of it, but it's so amazing how we can affect the things around us for positive and negative. We always try to say, oh, you know, think positive, but there is definitely ramifications of the negative. And sometimes like you said, it's your unconscious nervous system. You can't even like control it until you realize that you can, like until your awareness kicks in or someone like you says, okay, gosh, it makes you, you know, they used to do those lobotomies or the shock therapy, you know, it's like, well, maybe they weren't that far off, but it was very barbaric the way they did it in the beginning. Yeah.
Well, acupuncture is much gentler.
It's gentler. That's the body, the body's taking.
Yes. And the thing is, often people will go into quite a deep meditative state during the acupuncture and they become aware of their own thoughts. It's a fascinating thing that we can... There's a part of us that can sit back and observe ourselves thinking, but often during the acupuncture, people start remembering things from the past or making connections with their behavior and their illness, you know, their attitudes of mind and their commonly expressed emotions reacting like, say, with the liver issues in Chinese medicine is associated with anger and frustration. Whereas with kidneys, it's fear and so forth. So, yeah, people become a lot more aware of this when they're having the acupuncture. And the beauty of acupuncture, I think, is it can honour the person by put the needles in and then leave them in the room alone so they're experiencing what they experience and everybody's journey is individual and unique.
It sounds so great. I mean, because... To me, what you're describing, traditional acupuncture is treating the body like a machine. Well, this hurts, so we're going to go to this area. And your transformational acupuncture is looking at their energy systems as a whole, their symptoms, emotional and physical, and then treating with the needles, with the acupuncture based on their energy system, not just the symptom.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about your book, the book that you wrote, Stick It to Depression. So I love that play on words there. I'm a punny girl myself, so Stick It to Depression.
I wrote two books, both called Stick It to Depression. The first one was subtitled Another Tool in Your Doctor's Bag, and I wrote that to tell other doctors, make them aware that the value of acupuncture in helping their patients with depression and that there are alternatives and that there are, you know, that it does work. And then I wrote the second book with the same title, Stick It to Depression, but the subtitle was Get Your Life Back Naturally. And I wrote that specifically to make the public aware of this the fact that acupuncture can help them or their loved ones or friends.
Yeah, well, up to their consciousness. I mean, so many, because we all have the answers inside us. It's just taking the time to really listen and explore. And I loved how you described that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, too much in this modern world is really takes people away from that. I mean, that, you know, your smartphones, TV, all any form of entertainment you like on the internet is all a distraction, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yes. they use the idea of fear basically to get people hooked. You know, like the latest news, where the news reporters breathlessly report another shooting or something like this, and it's almost like they're saying it with glee in some sense. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just because, like, I've got this great story to tell you, but it's all designed to capture your attention and take you out of your own way, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm. And just the ability to recognize that, and if you can experience that state of being in yourself and being calm and present, and then when you realize that's coming at you, you can be like, oh no, that's pollution. It's pollution to my spirit. You know what I mean? Like, just that awareness that you can discern what's good for you, or, you know, you can tell when they're throwing the fear, but you have to make a decision for yourself and your family to cleanse your, not just your body, but your environment. Because it does energetically affect the whole environment when there's, you know, it's hard to, there's even energetics connected to words, and even how the words are said, or words are very powerful. So it takes a lot to cleanse and reboot and,
and
try to manage it.
A large part of adulthood is reevaluating what happened in your childhood and thinking, oh, is this truly a value I hold, or is it something that was drummed into me? So, you know, that's particularly with people with chronic illness, that's a good area to explore that sort of thing, to get you thinking about, okay, so why is my go-to emotion anger and frustration all the time? Why do I need to hit out at something? You know, all of that. Mm-hmm. So to unlearn all of that takes the rest of your life, doesn't it?
Yeah. And just to say, well, I don't think I want to show up like that anymore. And then just be curious about what comes to you. Yeah. It's because you don't. And I always tell people, every day is a chance to live the life of your dreams. So if this day didn't work the way you wanted, maybe figure out how you could have shown up differently. And, you know, it's easy to blame the politicians or the environment or blame your parents or your brother or your spouse. But ultimately, your mood and the responsibility for your happiness falls on you. So I challenge my listeners to take a look, and things aren't going well. Look at how you might be contributing, because there's definitely ways you can help no matter what. Being in service, saying, how can I show up for the highest good, is a great place to start, because you'll see when you're looking for good, good's going to come around. So
there are studies that show you that you focus on, you attract on what you keep focusing on. You start seeing more and more. It's like if you decide to buy a particular model of car, or a Tesla or whatever, and it's like then you start seeing Teslas are everywhere, because you're sort of, it's playing on your mind, so your mind's going out to specifically spot for these things. So if you're looking
really
for
cool.
bad time, then you're going to find the bad things. You're going to see suspicious activity and so on, and it's all, you're constantly hyper-vigilant.
Well, I've just adored this time we had together, Dr. Alex. And I know that your website's really informative, and you're concentrating on your training of acupuncturists to use your method. And was there anything else you wanted to share, or anything that was on your heart?
I was just going to say, for anybody, if they go to my website, which is stickittodepression.com, if they can get onto my mailing list, and there's stuff that's relevant to the general public as well to inform them, plus acupuncturists hopefully near you who can help has been trained.
Right, like the Life University. I'm sure they'd be really interested. I mean, you had a whole career as an internal medicine doctor, and your knowledge is so valuable.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, well, I'm excited, and I hope that people can go on my website and comment if they've experienced any of these kind of things. And I know lots of people really love their chiropractor, so this isn't like crazy off the wall. This is applying what we've done for a long time in a way that is transformational. So it all those kind of things when they line up always make a lot of sense. So I love it.
Yeah, and you know, it's not that the transformational acupuncture is certainly not the only way to transform your life, but it does have an advantage that it doesn't require conscious effort other than to turn up for the treatments. Things start to happen automatically because that's the way the body wants to balance itself and get back to an even ripple. Whereas, you know, a lot of people will go for talk therapy, you know, sit down with a counselor or a psychologist, which can be very useful. But for a lot of people, they just get tired of retelling the story of their childhood and not feeling like they're moving on. So something like this can really help, you know, short circuit a lot of talk, because you don't need to talk about these things to let them go. That's one of the advantages of acupuncture. And of course, you can combine it with seeing a psychologist, and because sometimes it does dredge up memories from the past, things long forgotten. It helps to sit down and talk through it with someone. So
it sure does. It helps to be seen. It helps to be there for someone who needs to be seen. Yeah. And you can't discount that connection of, you know, I can relate to where you are, and I hold space for how you're feeling, because you're right. A lot of us have gone around masking our weaknesses, masking our emotions because we're just trying to fit in and be part of the group, and you know, just not deal with it because it's too scary. And, you know, I totally get it, because we're just trying to survive, right? But at some point it manifests, and you're seeing that in your practice. So, it just be curious. There's different ways to, we say in the States, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, that's right.
They say that in Australia.
Yeah, we use that expression.
So if this resonates with you, check it out. And again, thank you, Dr. Alex. I adored our conversation, and I learned a lot. So that's always fun.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. That was terrific. Thanks.